Message this morning is motherhood and the mysteries of life. Motherhood and the mysteries of life. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 31. As you get turned there, if you would, please stand in honor of God's word as we read this together. Genesis chapter 1, looking at verses 26 through 31. Motherhood and the mysteries of life. Verse 26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat or for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Let's go in prayer together. Father, as we prayed already, God, we pray for your presence this morning, God, that we would feel you here with us. God, we thank you, God, for these songs that have been sung, the testimonies that have been given. God, I pray that these things are already resonating in our hearts, the truth of these things, the message of these songs. God, we know as we stand here and sing, God, that we're not professionals, God. We're not performers. But, God, we're singing these truths, God, and the power of what we're singing. God, it's not in our abilities to sing or to play or anything like that. But, God, it's in the truth of these statements, of these realities about which we're singing. And God, I pray that you would make that so clear and evident this morning, that God, you would speak to each one of us this morning, God, through your word, through your spirit, that God, we can be impacted this morning in a powerful way. God, as we read this passage of scripture, God, as it tells us about our origin, where we come from, God, I pray that we would have a receptive heart, a receptive mind, God, as we receive these things. That, God, these mysteries of life, God, it's amazing how you have answered these things. You have given us, God, answers, Lord, that are so deep and so profound. And, God, I'm just going to take a few minutes this morning to try to expound upon a few of these things. But, God, there's no way we could do it justice. But, Father, I pray that God, you would just allow enough to be said this morning, God, that, Lord, we would understand, Lord, the gloriousness of this, the gloriousness of who you are, and that, God, we would experience transformation this morning in light of who you are and your work in our life. So, Father, we thank you, God, for all these things now. I pray your blessing upon your word now as it's been read. We pray and ask all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. So as I read this passage of Scripture, I find myself going back to Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and 3 all the time. You'll notice that if you attend here. We talk about this all the time. We talk about being created in the image of God. And in this passage of Scripture that we're reading this morning, we think about motherhood. And within this idea, this concept of motherhood, we see the questions and the answers to the mysteries of life. And we see this by God's revelation. It's questions that I ponder every day of my life, and probably you do as well. Existence. Existence. Our beginning. Our origin. The question of where did you come from? Where did we come from? How did we get here? These are the big questions. If you can't answer that, and that's where I have some frustrations with atheism, because if you can't answer that question, just shut up. If you can't answer the question, where did we come from? How did we get here? If you can't answer that question, you're out. You don't get to skip that question and say, well, I'm not sure, but we just go on to the next one. You can't just go on to the next question. You have to answer that question. That is such a foundational question because it determines the answer to all the other questions. You can't just skip over it. Our existence, the question of where do we come from? How did we get here? You know, you kind of think about this in a funny way. The dreaded question that kids ask their parents, where do babies come from? Oh boy. Where do babies come from? You know, a 4, 5, 6-year-old kid asking that question, it's weird. It's just weird. It's weird, it's awkward, it's hard to answer that question because it's mind-blowing. I mean, I'm sure there are kids that when they were told this is where babies come from, they probably thought, there's no way that's right. There's no way. It's mind-blowing when you think about this, about where we come from, our existence. You know, you think about you know, where babies come from, it seems like something out of science fiction. A human being coming out of another human being. That is strange. I know it happens every day. There'll be 300,000 babies born today, but it's still weird. It's still a strange thing. And kids kind of help us, remind us of that, of just how strange that is. That human beings come from other human beings. And you think about this, and this new human being that is born, that comes out of another human being, you think about this new human being that has DNA and genetics and coded information. You say it happened by chance, by coincidence, by accident. That is a hilarious joke. Period. Impossible that that is true. DNA, genetics, coded information, replicating parts of the code of its mother and father. There will be a resemblance. You think these things just happen? I would have to ask, is that a joke? Things like that could just happen by coincidence. It's impossible. Coded genetic information. All of this is a mind-blowingly complex subject. This is the world I live in. This is what I do every day in my workplace. I think about atoms. I think about things on the smallest level you can imagine. That's my whole job is measuring for disintegrations per minute of atoms, of radioactive atoms. That's my entire job. My entire job depends upon that. So I literally think about this. I thought about this for tens of thousands of hours. I think about this every single day. And when you take a baby, that's a bundle of atoms. That's a bundle of cells. And this living creature is going to take in food. It's going to take in matter, and it's going to turn it into energy. And this baby is going to grow. It's going to convert energy into matter. Taking in energy and converting it to matter. And it's going to double in size and triple in size and quadruple in size. Just a bundle of atoms, a bundle of cells, living, growing, developing. And then we go to a completely other and higher category, and thinking and reasoning and learning and making decisions, conscious. We take these things for granted. In the church, we take these things for granted. Do you know how impossible these things are? But they're reality. Naturally speaking, they're impossible, which means it demands a supernatural explanation. Nature cannot account for it, though it manifests itself in nature. Mind-blowing things. You wouldn't believe it if you didn't see it. If we didn't experience it every day, you would never believe this could be true. But it is true. And a billion other things that have to happen in this natural world, on this planet, in this solar system, in this galaxy, to make all of this possible. To make motherhood possible. And I'm not exaggerating anything this morning. I'm just telling you the situation as we sit in this room. All of this, all of these things, billions of things have to come together miraculously to make motherhood possible. And I say everything I just said, and as Bill said earlier, there's so much more we can say. You know, on Sundays, I have to choose what not to say. I have to figure out, what am I going to say? I have to figure out, what do I not say? How do I try to say this in a concise way? Because there's so much to say about this. But the reason I say everything, the reason I reference everything I just mentioned, and I would talk to you about any of this after the service, if you have a question about any part of this, I think about this constantly. I'm obsessed with thinking about God and His creation. But I say everything that I've mentioned this morning to say this: motherhood declares the glory of God. That's a fact. That motherhood declares the glory of God. And that's the greatest thing I can say about it this morning. being a mother, motherhood declares the glory of God. And it is deep, and it is profound, and it is complex. But it gets even more complicated. Let's go to a different level. We've gone to all these different levels. We're talking about on the level of matter, on the level of cells, living cells, on the level of consciousness. But now let's go to another level. How about relationally? It gets even more complicated. Every Mother's Day, every Father's Day, I'm keenly aware that there are mixed emotions in this room. There have to be. I look around this room. I know you. You know me. There are mixed emotions. Why do I say that? When we think about mothers, there are mothers who have died. I see June's got a white flower on. You know what that represents? Her mother's passed away. You see, that was a tradition. You'd wear a white flower, pass probably God. Maybe have a white flower on her. She's got a red and white on this morning. You know, you wear a red flower if your mother's still living. You wear a white flower if your mother's passed away. Mothers die. That's a whole subject in itself. What? This person who gave birth to you, who raised you, they die. It's complicated. Children die. Children die. There are mothers who have children, but they're not here. It gets complicated. It gets painful. There are mothers who have neglected their calling. They've either neglected their calling or they've abused it. Motherhood raises a lot of questions about the mysteries of life, about creation, about existence, about the complexity of life, about our origin, where we come from, how did we get here, but it also raises questions about good and evil, and about suffering, about pain, about death. Where does suffering come from? Why is there suffering? Why is there evil? Why is there death? Why is there sickness? Motherhood, the idea, talking about motherhood, the subject of motherhood this morning raises all of these questions. But I'm happy this morning to say God answers these questions. God answers these questions. Because creation is not the end of the story. We read about creation, the creation of men and women, male and female, created in the image of God. But creation is not the end of the story, because as part of being created in the image of God, we were created with a free will. And that free will is a blessing of God, because part of God's good creation, He declared, you read it there in verse 31, and God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And part of that very good creation of mankind, of man and woman being created in the image of God, is they were given a free will. But like all things, that good blessing of God, that God-given blessing, instead of being used, it was abused. It was a good thing, but it was misused, and it brought about rebellion. Creation is not the end of the story. God gave us a free will, part of being created in His image, but we abused it and we rebelled against God, our Creator. There was a glorious, perfect, good creation, but through rebellion, it has become corrupted. That's where we find ourselves this morning. So what God reveals about this world in this little simple story that He gives in the first few chapters of Genesis, what He reveals about this world, about our existence, about our origins, where we come from, how we got to where we're at today, is exactly what we experience every day, including this morning. It's mixed. We experience exactly what you would expect to experience in a perfectly God-created world, in which there has been sin, which has brought about corruption. That's where you. That's where it's so powerful. When you talk to somebody and you say, "Is there good in the world?" Of course, there's good in the world. From where does it come from? By what standard? Is there evil in the world? Of course there's evil in the world. Where does it come from? Evil by what standard? All these things scream to the truthfulness of the revelation of God and the truthfulness of Christianity. Again, I'll say motherhood declares the glory of God. The answer to these questions about creation and about corruption because of sin, it answers these big questions of life. So what God reveals about this world is exactly what we experience every day, including this morning. God's creation is good. Motherhood is good. Is motherhood good or bad? It's good. But can it become corrupted? Yes. Can it be abused? Yes. God's creation is good because He is good. But it has been corrupted. We can imagine the idea of a perfect mother. We can imagine that concept, a perfect mother. And that idea of a perfect mother is evidence of God's creation. It was potential. It could have been, but it has never been. There has never been a perfect mother. Why? Because of corruption. If you think about that, I mean, in the sense I mean that, the fall, the corruption happened before there was childbirth. There has never, when I say there has never been a perfect mother, I mean that. There has never been a perfect mother because of corruption. So we have creation, but then we have corruption. And that could have been the end of the story. And we could find ourselves here this morning just saying, well, I'm just going to try to avoid pain and suffering as much as I can. I'm just going to try to avoid death, avoid, you know, suffering or physical pain. I'm going to try to be the best mother that I can, but it's all going to be corrupted. And that's the end of the story. So we have creation, then we have corruption. And that could have been the end of the story. But it's not. But it's not. That's where we find ourselves even this morning. But God has made a way. A way, and I'm giving you basically four words this morning. Creation, corruption, let me give you the third word, redemption. God has made a way of redemption. Sending His divine, infinite Son. Divine. You know what divine means? God. And we sang this, it hit me as we were singing the song earlier, The Old Rugged Cross. We sang these words, stained with blood, so divine. Divine blood? The blood of God? Yeah. Is that the Son of God? Yes. Is that the infinite divine Son of God hanging upon that cross? Yes. Is He bleeding? Yes. It was shed for us. That's what it took to redeem the corruption. God has made a way of redemption. And He's done so by sending His divine infinite Son into this corrupt world, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has paid for our rebellion. And He will, now listen close to what I'm saying this morning, He will reverse our corruption. If, and only if, we trust Him. We rebelled against God. That caused that separation and the corruption. The only way back to God is to do the opposite. We disbelieved Him. We distrusted Him. The only way back to Him is to trust Him and is to obey Him. Rebellion is what got us into this corrupt creation. It's what corrupted creation. It is only through obedience and trust that we can then be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ and the payment He made upon the cross, paying for our rebellion, paying for our corruption. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 8, and chapter 6, verse 23. I put them together here on this slide. I think these statements capture what I'm describing well. Romans 5:8 and Romans 6:23. Listen to what this says. But God, who invented fatherhood, who invented motherhood, but God, who created us, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God had to initiate it. Hey, we're sinners. We're corrupted. We have severed the relationship between us and God. We can't get back to him. We're now separated for eternity unless God intervenes and he comes to us and he makes a way. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. That answers the question, why do we die? Why is it so painful? Why do we go through this thing? Because the wages of sin is death. It is separation from our spirit from our body. There's a physical death, but there's also a spiritual death, which is separation from God, who is life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. All of our shortcomings, our mistakes, our failures can be paid for and forgiven. Redemption is possible. But redemption is only possible through Christ. His death, his resurrection, his life, his power. If we trust in him, he tells us this in his word. And I can remember in the movie, The Passion, I can remember a statement that was made during that, as he's been beaten, as he's taking his cross there to the mountain there to Golgotha. There are women following him, and it records in Scripture, and it says that he turned to them and he said, "Don't weep for me, weep for yourselves." Because if they do this, when the tree is green, when they do this with this much spiritual vibrancy and life here, what are they going to do whenever the tree has grown dry? What will they do then? He's saying it's going to get worse. Don't weep for me, weep for yourselves. But in that depiction, I like this. I like the way that they use this. They have Jesus saying something that it doesn't say in Scripture that he said at that moment, but that he says later on. Much later on. And they have him saying this as he's carrying that cross, as he's beaten, as he's bloodied, he turns to the women. You know what he says to them? He says, "Behold, I make all things new." Christ does say that, but he says it in the book of Revelation. But I'm glad they placed it there, because let me tell you something, he was making all things new. As he was being destroyed, he was restoring us. As he was being destroyed on our account, he was taking on my destruction, and he was restoring me to the Father. He was making all things new as he was being torn down. Behold, I make all things new. And understand this, Christ is going to make all things new. He's going to redeem all things. If we trust in him, one day he's going to make all things new. So I'm talking about creation, our origin, where we come from. I'm talking about corruption and the fall and how we got into a fallen world, a world where there's evil, there's suffering, there's pain, there's abuse, there's death, all these other things, all these concepts tied to motherhood and Mother's Day, what we're thinking about today. And now I'm looking forward. I'm saying that when Christ makes all things new, but in the meantime, if we'll trust him, he's going to make all things new. He's going to redeem all things. And he'll redeem you this morning. What about right now? What about this morning? In the meantime, in this life, listen to what his word says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says this. As sinners, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Paul writing this, he said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." I want you to notice the end of that 20th verse. Christ in you. Christ in me. If we trust Christ, we will live with him forever. But what he's saying here is he'll live with us right now, this morning. But Christ, Paul didn't say Christ will live in me. He said Christ liveth in me right now, presently. Christ is in me. And if you know Christ is your Savior, Christ is in you. Not only will we live with him forever, but we can live with him right now. He will also live with us now. In this life, Christ with us and Christ in us. What he's saying there is this: he will help you. He will help you. He will help you to be the mother you need to be. We all have different roles, different callings in life. Do you need help being a mother? Christ says, I'll help you, but you have to ask him. I'll help you to be a mother. I'll help you to be a father. I'll help you to be a Christian. I'll help you to be a brother, a son. Whatever capacity in life that you're in, Christ says, if you will ask me, I will help you. I'll help you to be the mother you need to be. He can teach you through his word and through his spirit. He can teach you how to be the mother you need to be. He can teach me how to be the father I need to be, the husband, the wife, the son, the brother, the sister, the daughter, the person that we need to be. Christ will teach us. I'll say this, there's no perfect mothers. There was a perfect son. There was a perfect son. There was a perfect brother. There's never been a perfect father or mother, but there was a perfect son who walked this earth. And there was a perfect brother who walked this earth. And it was Jesus Christ, who is my brother. I've been born again. I've been born of the Spirit. Jesus Christ was a perfect son. He was a perfect brother. And he's saying, I'll help you. I will teach you through his word, through his spirit. He can teach us, living with us, guiding us, helping us, forgiving us when we fail, forgiving us when we fall, correcting us. But we must trust and obey him. Because to this day, and I want to say this to you this morning, when I talk about the rebellion, the fall, yeah, that's an event in history and in the past. But rebellion today, disobedience today, still brings about suffering every single day. Rebellion still produces corruption and suffering every single day. When we don't trust and obey Christ, it brings suffering and corruption. That's a warning to you this morning. But if we trust him, the infinite Son of God, who loves us and died for us, he will not lead us astray. In fact, as we close this morning, I'm going to show you where he will lead us. I'm going to ask Bill and Michael if they would to come. I'm going to ask everyone to stand if you would. Revelation chapter 21, the last passage we're going to look at this morning. We've talked about creation. We've talked about corruption. We've talked about redemption in Christ. Creation, corruption, redemption. This last passage I'm going to read, I've already alluded to it, finally, is consummation. Creation, corruption, redemption, and consummation. We think of all of this. We think about motherhood. All these things come into play. Revelation chapter 21. As I said earlier, Christ said he will make all things new. It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is John writing as he sees this vision of things still yet to come. Even this morning, a revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the full title of this book, The Revelation of Jesus Christ. And at the end of this, it says that John witnesses these things in a vision. It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Listen to verses 4 through 7. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. He's going to undo the corruption that we've caused through our rebellion. And God said, I shall wipe away. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. You might think, well, you know, I'm here this morning. I'm a woman. I'm a female. What does it mean? What do you mean? He that overcometh, and he shall be my son. You know what it says that? It's talking about an inheritance. And what it's saying is, as a child of God, you received the inheritance. Back then, at that time in the first century, it was only the son. Only sons received the inheritance, not the daughters. But here he's saying that those who overcome shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. An heir of Christ, an heir and a joint heir with Christ, an heir of God, an heir of all things. Motherhood points us to the mysteries of life. And God reveals all these mysteries through his word. Motherhood raises these mysteries of life in the word of God. God, and through his revelation, he reveals these mysteries through his word and in his son, Jesus Christ. What I would say this morning is this. Believe him, trust him, call upon him. Later on in the book of Romans, it says, Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. But we have to call upon him. We have to trust him. We have to believe him. And then it goes on. We need to live with him every day. Teach your kids about him. Let your kids see Christ in you. That's what we sing that song, Blessed Assurance, praising my Savior on Sunday morning. Praising my Savior on Easter. Praising my Savior on Christmas. Praising my Savior on Mother's Day. No, praising my Savior all the day long. Which day? Every day. Every day. It's not just that Christ saves us and it's like, I'll see you in heaven. No, he walks with us every single day because he's in us. He's with us. Teach your kids about him. Believe him. Trust him. Call upon him. Live with him every day. Teach your kids about him every day. Let your children see Christ in you. And let the world see Christ in you. Motherhood and all the mysteries of life answered and revealed in God's revelation in his word and through his son, Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, let me make that. Yeah, people always want, I know what the will of God is for my life. It's for you to be saved, reconciled to him. I know that. There's no question about that. If you say that's confusing, you're making it confusing. You need Christ, period. Let me change that. You need Christ, exclamation point. That's what you need. Without him, it all falls apart. But with him, it can be redeemed and it can be glorified through him. You need Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you need to be saved. I'd encourage you to come. We're going to sing this song, Marvelous Grace. Marvelous Grace. That's what this whole story is about. Marvelous Grace. If you need to come this morning, you need to be saved. This altar is open. I will kneel down with you. You can pray this morning and ask Christ to save you. Put your trust in him. Put your faith in him and commit your whole life to him. You can do that this morning. Experience his forgiveness. Experience his redemption. Redemption has been provided, but have you received it? If you've not received it, it's not yours. You have to receive this redemption. Call upon the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. As we sing this together, if you're here this morning, you're a Christian, you need to come and pray. You need help with something in your life. You need Christ to come into your life and to help you with something, to help you to be a better mother, a better father, whatever the need might be, a better Christian. a better friend, whatever it might be, come and ask him. Ask him for his help this morning. This is an opportunity this morning for you to respond to this message, what God's revealed through his word, as we sing this together.